about my voice.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah, everyone's going to listen. Okay, good morning, everybody. This is actually still me. Yeah, I'm at the end of the cult, not at the beginning. So we're all good. In fact, just to show everybody that I'm really no longer sick, I went to go play softball last night. So I'm fine. I'm totally fine. Except for my voice. excuse me. Okay, my voice is shot. We are on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Today's Daf is Daf Lamed Beis, Masechta Tamid, and let's get underway. We have a little bit more to go until we get to the Agadita, and then we're going to try. We're going to do our best with the Agadita. It's a great piece of Agadita today. fourth parak of Tamid, the nitty gritty, the real bones of the Masechta. We took the carpet Tamid yesterday and we cut it up and we divided it. We talked about the actual dissection of the animal, how the animal is cut up, how the animal then is handed to 9 separate Kohanim in order to bring up onto the Mizbeach. The last thing we talked about in the Mishnah is how the pieces went up to the ramp, right to the south side of the ramp, west side of the ramp, on right below the halfway mark on the south side of the ramp, and deposited over there. They actually put it down. They all ran into Lishkas Agazis. They said Shema, and that was it. The Gemara yesterday, what we did, talked a little bit about the material used for the tables. The tables were made out of silver, gold, and some of the tables were made out of marble. And the Gemara yesterday wanted to know, how come some of the tables were made out of marble? Why not make all the tables out of silver and gold? And once again, the Gemara employed the idea that it's Beis HaMikdash, and you should be a Makom Asher. It should be a place where we have gold and silver, not marble. To which the Gemara's answer was, yeah, but the meat is putting on the marble table. We don't want to rely on a miracle. If the meat was placed on a gold table and a silver table, that wouldn't be good. So therefore, we put the meat on a marble table. Good. Okay, Rabbi Yishmo Bar, I'm sorry. Remember, we learned yesterday that in the morning of the Karban Tamid, there were 24 rings in the Beis HaMikdash. Of those 24, we used the same 2 for the Karban Tamid. In the morning, we used the one that's all the way to the west. In the evening, we used the one that's all the way to the east. And basically, we're following the sun. Since the sun rises in the east, therefore, the first rays are going to be hitting the west side. So therefore, we want the Karban Tamid Shechted on the west side. And then as the day ends and the sun rests in the west, so therefore, we want the Karban Shechted on the east side. Menan, immediately the Gemara wants to know, where does this come from? Am Rav Chista, Am Akrash, Shnayim Layom, Keneged Ayom. It's a Shnayim Layom. And the drush of the Gemara is Keneged Hayom. It's opposite the day. Meaning what we want is that we want it to basically follow the day. So Tanya Nami Ach, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, same story. Shnayim Layom, Keneged Ayom. Atom, Keneged Ayom, Ayinu Allah, Chaval Ayom. The Gemara says, look, the Pasuk could just simply be telling me, Shtam Layom, meaning 2 a day. Why? What gives us the right to darshan? It's Keneged Ayom. So Keshu Omer, yeah, but you go on and you see already that the Torah is telling us that's 2 a day. So now that the Torah is telling us already that it's 2 a day, so then what do you do? What do you do with the Shnayim, meaning Shnayim Layom? So Haman Mikayim Shnayim Layom, Neged Ayom. Okay, so that's what the Drasha is coming to teach me. Okay, so specifically, how do we do that? Tamish Shashach Ayanishchat Al Keren Tzfonis Ma'aravis Al Tabash Nia. So I'm going to go now and check it on the northwest. Remember what we said yesterday? North does not mean all the way to the north. North means just one step north of the Mizbeach, meaning it's the second row of rings from the from the south side. Vishal Bein Arbaim Ayanishchat Al Keren Tzfonis Mizrachis Al Tabash Nia. Good. Okay, that takes us through the drasha of where we shech the Karban Tamid in the morning. All right. Asar dvarim shal alachzan just muktam ezigne anegiv. 10 questions were asked.
How did we get into this?
How's the Gemara here?
Yeah. How did they decide to stick the Agarta right here? Like, what's connected with
it? So, answer number one is I don't know. Answer number two is that one of the first questions is going to be the sun.
The sun.
Yeah. So, it's not a strong connection. It's a connection. Okay, and for the remainder of our perek, we're going to go through some amazing Agarta. Really amazing. Okay, you know the drill right now. I'm going to just scratch the surface. I'll just get us through the simple pshat behind the Agarta. Maybe I'll make a couple more comments here and there. Who knows? But just to get us through the simple pshat. You know that what the Chachamim did is that they encrypted. Meaning there are many ideas that are very deep and very complex, and they encrypt it into the Agarta. So to us, it looks like a story. It behaves like a story. It behaves like a story. But there's much more involved in it. Two people to look at whenever we do Agarta is the Marsha. Now you'll say to yourself, is there a Marsha over here? And I believe the answer is yes, there is. He's tucked away somewhere in the back. I have a Rashash on Tamid. I think he's back. Okay, I'll look for him another time. I have another version of the Ravid back here. Okay. Anyway, I'll look for him another time. And then the other thing to do is to look up Amaral. Amaral writes a commentary to the Agarta. It's not easy. It's somewhat complex, but take a look at the Maharal as well on this Agarta. Now, Alexander is probably Alexander the Great. Okay, a lot of things would indicate that that's so. Number one, the Gemara talks about him all the time. He's a very popular figure in the Gemara, and also Alexander Mukdam over here could either mean one of two things. Mukdam can mean he was the original, right? We call him Alexander the Great. So here in the Gemara, it's Alexander, right? The primary.
But somebody built an Alexander after.
Right, right. That's one and two. Right, and two is that it probably refers to Macedonia. We all know Alexander. Mm-hmm. And did anyone hear the guy who spoke this past Shabbos?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Right, Rabbi Katz from Baltimore. Yeah, he was excellent. So anyway, so he spoke a lot about Alexander. So he was from Macedon, right? His father was Philip. He was from Macedon. And so Mukdan over here could also mean Alexander the Macedonian. Good. Now, he's
but
having a...
Macedonia was part of Greece. It's like
right,
a border.
Right. Now, conversations taking place over here between Alexander and the Zikne HaNegev, the elders of the south. I don't have anything about them. I don't know who it's referring to. I don't know, huh?
That's us.
I guess. I don't know who the south is. It's, that's obviously that's the obscure part of this whole discussion. What time period are we in right now? So we're in the beginning of the Bayit Sheni, right? Alexander the Great was immediately after the construction of the Second Temple. I mentioned this in the past. It's for the historians out there. There is a discrepancy, and this is really where it is between our tradition of history versus the world tradition of history. The world tradition of history is going to put Alexander the Great somewhere in the 4th century BCE, meaning somewhere in the 300s. We have him further back, meaning a longer time ago, because we have the real big discrepancy between us and them is that we don't have a long Persian Empire. We believe our tradition is that the Persian Empire was really short, meaning that after Ahasuerus built the Second Temple, or allowed for the building of the Second Temple, or more specifically his son Daryavish building the Second Temple, we pretty much have the Persian Empire over by that point in time. That's our tradition. The secular tradition is that the Persian Empire lasted much longer.
Wait, how does that give us longer and them shorter if they have the Persian
backwards.
Empire?
The other way around.
Oh, well, hold on.
Meaning from here going backwards, Yeah. We have we have Alexander coming up much earlier in history.
Oh, because he comes after the Persians.
He comes after the Persians, and our tradition is Persian Empire pretty much ended after Dariavish.
Oh, okay, so the Persian Empire.
That's our tradition.
And then he comes.
And then Alexander comes.
That puts
him earlier. The secular historians have a much longer Persian Empire, over 100 years more. And so therefore, they have Alexander coming approximately 100 years after we think. More than 100 years. It's more like 140 years.
So he was right before Yashka.
No. Even
400 years.
According to our tradition, it's about 420 years before the Common Era,
yeah.
Something like that. According to their tradition, let's put it this way: the Second Temple. I'll make it easy. Second Temple, according to our tradition, was destroyed in the year 421 BCE.
Yeah.
According to their tradition. First Temple, 421. According to their tradition, 586. Open up any secular historical book, 586. Okay. Anyway.
But our numbers seem to jive with the Second Temple. That is, if Alexander of Macedon is coming, let's say, around 330, and the Second Temple lasts another 400 years after.
Correct.
So he did come during the Second Temple.
No, he for sure came during the Second Temple. Yeah. Just a question
so
of...
We're right and they're wrong.
I have a book in my house that tries to coordinate the two.
They want to make Yashka come at the right time that they.
That's a lot of it could be, but that's a lot of that's speculation.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Okay. okay. Good. My voice is improving. so small. And what else do we want to say just as words of introduction? That's pretty much it. You know the story with Alexander and Shimon HaTzadik, right? That one we all know. The Gemara, I skipped the Gemara, it's funny. I know what I did. On Chav Zion, the Gemara made an allusion to it, but I skipped the Gemara because the Gemara was in parentheses. But Gemara in Yuma tells an unbelievable story where Alexander was coming up to Eretz Yisrael in order to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Shimon HaTzadik knew. Shimon HaTzadik put on the big day kahuna. Right? Shimon HaTzadik was Shayari Knesset Sakudola. He was the last member of the Men of the Great Assembly, who were the ones who started the whole Second Temple period. And so he meets up with Alexander the Great. He wears his big day kahuna, even though he's outside the base of Mikdash, which is why the Gemara brought up earlier, because how can you wear the...
Mila, right.
How could you wear the clothing of the big day kahuna while not in the base of Mikdash? Okay, and when Alexander sees Shimon HaTzadik, he gets off his horse, he starts bowing down to Shimon HaTzadik, right, that is... And he explains to his people, before I go into any battle... I see that in an image. So he realizes that he has a lot to offer the Jews.
Were we saying there was one opinion that it's Cohen can go outside the base of Mikdash to take a walk with his big day kahuna?
No. In other words, there is an opinion that the Cohen doesn't have to strip himself of the big day kahuna the moment he finishes the avoda. But to go outside the base of Mikdash, to walk around, that's for sure.
It's a big kiddush that he knew to go out.
Correct. And the Gemara's answer was Horasha, meaning right. He knew he had to do it.
He needed to do it.
Okay. And conversation over here between Alexander and the Jews from the south. Asar Dvarim Shal Alexander's Mukta Mitzik Neha Negev. Amar Lahem. So there were 10 questions. Question number one. Sorry. Min haShamayim laAretz rachok, o miMizrach leMa'arav. What is longer? Now, again, the simple pshat over here is linear measurement. What is longer, the distance between heaven and earth, or the distance from east to west? Amar lo. So their response was miMizrach leMa'arav. The length from east to west is longer. Teida. Sharei Chama beMizrach al Kol Mistaklim ba. Chama b'marav hakol mistaklin ba, chama b'emtsa rikia, ein hakol mistaklin ba. Sun is to the east, everyone can look at the sun. Sun is to the west, everyone can look at the sun. Sun is directly above, nobody could look at the sun, which is an indication, meaning that is an empirical an empirical discovery where the sun has got to be closer, obviously, because how come I can look at the sun while it's on the horizon, but I can't look over at the sun while it's right over the head? Okay, now a couple of things. Number one, just I think from a scientific perspective. Now, when I say science over here, I don't mean like modern science and modern astronomy, but just from the way that we observe nature, it is interesting. The ball of sun, it looks bigger when it's on the horizon, or it looks bigger when it's over our head.
Right. It's bigger on the horizon.
Right. So, right. It clearly looks bigger from the horizon. It's so interesting to me, and again, make of it what you will. It's so interesting to me that if I normally things that are larger are closer, things that are smaller are further away. So, in other words, if you wanted to quote unquote observe the science and walk away with a conclusion based on an observation, you would have thought that the sun on the horizon is closer and the sun overhead is further away. And it's so interesting. What the southern scholars realized is don't get fooled by that fact. it's fascinating. They looked beyond that observable point, but rather what they did is they realized I can look at the sun when it's on the horizon. It must be that it's further away. When meanwhile, when the sun's right over our head, we can't look at it. It must be that's closer, right? See what information they ignored. And what information they didn't ignore. It's very interesting. And by the way, just from what we know as to be quote-unquote correct, right? As if we know what's correct. But from what we know to be correct, where is the sun closer to us? Over the head or from the horizon?
Over the head. No, slightly closer over the head because you have a little bit of Earth.
What you're looking through is the atmosphere.
Well, that's true too.
Right, correct.
But it is closer on over the head because
it's
a prismatic effect also, which
right.
Which not significant. Makes the sun
no, but it's he's right. It's closer over our head.
So you think about it. You've got the Earth here.
Right.
You've got to look all the way this way.
Right. We're not the center.
So this is almost insignificant. And the real reason why there's...
Yeah, okay. Anyway. Right. Correct. All right. So anyway, so Amlo me Mizrach lamar Rav Teda Sharei Chama be Mizrach Hakol Mistaklamah Chama Mamar Hakol Mistaklamah Chama be Bems Arakia Eino Hakol Mistaklamah. Fine. The Chachama Momrim, but it's so funny. And now, as they're giving an answer, they're also saying over. You know, there's another opinion on this matter. It's Machlokas. The Chachama Momrim and the Chachama say Zev Zev Keecha Shavim. They're both the same. How do I know this? Pasuk in Tehillim. The Pasuk in Tehillim says Kegavav Shemayim Laaretz Kerachok Mizrach Ma'arav. Now, the Gemara does butcher the pasuk, but even meaning it's you look at the pasuk inside, it doesn't say exactly that. But the point is that just from the sequence of the pasuk, it does seem that east to west is the same distance as from the ground to the shamayim. And the Gemara simply makes that point. And if one of them was greater, the pasuk would have said that. And now the Gemara wants to know if that's correct. If the Chachamim are correct, so how come I can't see the sun? Look at the sun when it's directly over our head. And so basically, the Gemara's answer is Mishum Dikai LaHejep Lo Kasi LeMiti. Basically, the Gemara says what we know to be true, which is atmosphere, meaning when it's directly overhead, that's less atmosphere that has to go through. Nothing is quote unquote covering the sun, and so therefore we get an uninterrupted view of the sun. Mashain came when it's on the horizon, so it goes through a lot of atmosphere, and so therefore it gives us a chance to look at the sun. Amar Lahem, Shamayim Nivru Tchila Al Haaretz. What came first, Shamayim or Aretz? Okay. Now again, you realize there's a lot of depth over here to these questions and answers. We're just scratching the surface. So Shamayim Nivru Tchila. So their answer is first came Shamayim. How do I know that? Shenemar. First Pasuk in Chumash. Breishis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim Ves Aretz. So Amar Lahem. Now again, just one small interjection over here. I really shouldn't be doing interjections right now. I should just be going right along. But just one small interjection over here. I'm sorry. Alexander was a student of Aristotle, right? In other words, he was taught by the Greek philosophers. So Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. So Alexander's quote-unquote Rebbe, right, if you will, was Aristotle. Aristotle was of the belief, and this is where the Rambam, who was a follower of Aristotle, the Rambam enjoyed Aristotle's work, but Aristotle was of the belief that the world did not have a beginning. Right? Aristotelian philosophy is that the world was a constant. Time is a constant. The world is a constant. Right? There was no beginning of the earth. Right? So, it could be, and again, it's just, you know, me thinking out loud. It could be that when Alexander's asking, you know, what came first, Shemayim Ha'aretz, meaning he was kind of like poking fun, meaning there was no creation, meaning the world always existed, right? And you'll see, by the way, that may be a theme in terms of a lot of these questions and answers, in terms of whether or not HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, or did the world already always exist. So, Bereshis Baruch Hu Kimsa Shemayim Vesaretz. So, Amar Lahem, Or Nivratchila Choshech. So, then Alexander asked, well, what came first? Darkness or light? Amru La, they said to him, Milsada Ein La Patar. We don't know. We don't know the answer. Okay, now the Gemara says, wait a second. V'neimu Lei Choshech Nivratchila. So why don't they just simply say that darkness was created first? Meaning it's a pasuk. The pasuk says that before God started to make, in other words, the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu created was light, which means that before that it was darkness. So why didn't they give him what seems to be the obvious answer? Savrei, so now the Gemara gives us an insight into the Chachmei Hadarom, the wise men of the south. Because they knew what the follow-up question was going to be, and they wanted to avoid the follow-up question. Meaning once Alexander was probing into the creation and the act of creation, so once you say that there is creation, ex nihilo, something from nothing, or as the way the Ramban describes it, yesh me'ayin, right? Kosh Baruch Hu just created out of nothing, matter out of nothing. So then the next question is going to be, oh, so what was there beforehand? And the Mishnah Chagiga says that those are not questions we should be asking, simply because we're never going to get a satisfactory answer. So they knew at this point in time that Alexander was going in that direction. So they knew that there was a follow-up. So how do you avoid a follow-up question? Very simple. By not answering the original question. So the Gemara says, Yahachi Shemayim Nami Lo Namerlei. So why did they answer the Shemayim Va'aretz question if they wanted to avoid all the follow-ups? So Meikar Savrei Krai Ba'amu Udekashayo Kev Nechazu Dekahadu Shayo Savrei Lo Neimalei Damasa Lishulei Malamala Malamata Malafni Malachor. Because when it was the Shemayim Va'aretz question, they thought, oh, he was just curious. But then they realized, as he then went on to the dark versus light, that now he had an agenda, and he was heading in a particular direction, and they stopped him right there. Okay. Amalan, Eden Mitakre Chachem. Which one of you is called smart? You have your sitter here? No. I just need I need Pirkei Avos. Okay. Okay, go ahead. Perfect. Oh, okay. Good. This is where Sfarim and Ashkenazim are the same. Same Pirkei Avos. No difference. Okay. Okay. Next series of questions. Amar Lehem Idim Mitakrei Chacham. Who's smart around here? So Amar Lehem Eizu Chacham Aros Nolad. So he quotes a Mishnah, Ezu Chacham, the person who sees the future. Amar Lehem Eidem Etakrei Gibor, which one of you is strong? Amar Lo Ezu Gibor Kovish Yisro. somebody who is kovish is yetzer, who basically can control his. Wait, I'm going to get to that. So kovish is yetzer. Somebody can control himself. Amalahun aydim etakri asher, who's wealthy. Amalei yezu asher samech mechalko. Okay. Now, all this should sound familiar because it is the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos of the fourth Perek. But what is interesting, and I'm sure I'm not the first person that made this observation, is that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos also asks the same questions, and except for one, gives the same answers. Ben Zoma Omer, Ezehu Chacham Halamed Mikol Adam, Ezehu Gibor Hakovesh Et Yisro. Ezehu Ashir Asamech Mechoko. And finally, there's a fourth question over here, which Ezehu Mechubad, who's honored? HaMechabed Esapriyo, somebody who honors others. It's interesting that the Chachme, the Zignei Darom, so they answered like the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, except for question number one. For question number one of Ezehu Chacham, so they said Haroas Anolan, the person's able to see the future. And the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, "Halo mei mikol adam."
So, oh, I know why.
Yeah, what do you think?
He's going to say, "Oh, you can learn from me."
No, I think they're trying to not sure that they know what to the previous question about heaven and earth that where it come from.
Right.
Since they're predicting where he was going to go, they're trying to say you can't predict the future to know what question you're going to ask. So
right.
They're saying that.
Oh yeah.
Right, and also. I mean, again, this is a little bit of conjecture on my part, but we also know that Alexander died extremely young. I think historians have him dying somewhere around 30, 33
yeah,
years of age.
Even
26. 20, right?
Wow.
So, right. So, he really, one of the things that he suffered from is that he couldn't control himself, meaning... again, the historians say that he was an alcoholic, and he was, and he lacked a lot of self control. So perhaps a lot of the question answers were, you know, hakovish is yitzro, like you have to control yourself. Haroes anolad, you have to be able to see the future, meaning you can't behave the way you're behaving. You have to, you have to look a little bit ahead. So, in other words, it could be, my conjecture, take it or leave it, but it could be that they were, trying to hint to him that, you gotta take better care of yourself. Okay. Ezu Chacham Aros Anolan, okay. So, Ezu Shira, Asamech Mechalko. Amar Lahem, and by the way, Asamech Mechalko, like, that was like the opposite of Alexander the Great. Like, Alexander the Great, like, he wanted to conquer the entire world, period.
He did.
And he did. He had an insatiable appetite for conquering and ruling. Right. What should a person do in order to live? Kill yourself. What a great answer. And take a look at the rush over here. It's a great rush. Yamida, that's not small, the Rush writes. Yatriach b'malacha kedei la'arviach mezorasav. Like, work hard. Like, work hard is the secret to success. V'lo yomar im malacha zuhu ganislau. And don't ever say, it's just such a great rush. Right? Don't ever say, that's too demeaning for me. I can't do that. V'gam lo yimshoch es b'saro achar ta'anugim. Right? Don't get involved in too many pleasures of this world. Figam yitzta'er es b'saro lo mo Torah. And also learn Torah even when it's uncomfortable. All right. Well, what a great morning to to make that point. I love it. And that's how you live in this world and in the world to come. Okay. So Alexander asks, "How do you live?" And their answer is, "Right, kill yourself." So now he wants to know what is the opposite also true? Meaning, how do you die? So yichayes atzmo. So live a little bit. And again, you look at the rush. So hahefach mashikasafti, right? Just the opposite. Meaning, don't work so hard.
indulge.
Have some pleasures. Right. Amar lahem, more questions. Maya avid inish, I lost count. What number are we up to? There should be a total of 10.
No.
Okay. Anyway, maybe later today I'll do a count, so I can have a better accounting. Amar lahem, maya avid inish v'iskaba al briyasa. So, what should you do in order to be liked, to be miskabel? So Amru, Yasne Malko Vishilton. Hate the authority. Right? Hate the authority. So Amru Lahu, so finally now, and I think this is the first time, he talks back to them. Meaning every question that they've offered so far, you know, he accepted their answer. And now, right.
The distance he wasn't, the distance of an
error. Right. Huh? Yeah, 100%. Yeah, in other words, there was a certain amount of chutzpah that they had in answering these questions. So Amr Lahu, didi tava mi didchu. And he says, no, people, I got this one I got, and I know this one better than you do. Yirachim malku v'shalton, meaning that you should be kind and benevolent, meaning be a benevolent dictator. If you be a benevolent dictator, you're going to be well liked. V'yavotivu im b'nei insha, and do good to people, meaning be kind to people, and that's how you'll be well liked. Amar lahem b'yama ya'i lamedar, o b'yavishta ya'i lamedar. Well, better to live in the ocean or better to live in the on the dry land? Amar lahem b'yavishta ya'i lamedar. They said not even a question. Dry land. Look, sailors are not happy, are not calm until they come back to the dry land. Meaning every time they're at an ocean, all they do is look forward to coming back to the dry land. Which one of you is the smartest? So they said, we're all the same. No one, none of us is smarter than the other. Every question, did you notice? There was no debate. Every question that we gave you went totally unanimous, right? Which was really amazing. And by the way, not totally true, because the Shemayim Va'aretz, there seems to have been a debate. I guess what you could say is that the Zikne Darom, by consensus, all agreed to one approach, and then the Chachamim must be some other opinion, not espoused by the Zikne Darum. Amar lahen, ma dein etrastan lekabale. Right. How come you don't eat with me?
Socialize.
All right, how come you don't socialize? Amar lahen, Satana Netzach. So they said, well, this is how we're going to continue. Meaning, part of the reason why we don't socialize is because it keeps us going. So Amar lahen ha'ana mekaltina yaskon begzeres malkon. He says, what do you mean? You really think you can continue? I can kill you. So Amar lahen shaltan biyad malcha. Velo ya'i lamalcha chazav miad. I'm sorry. Velo ya'i lamalcha chazav. So their response was, right. The you make a liar out of the king if you killed us because you asked us to have this conversation with you, and so you'll make a liar out of the king if you in fact kill us. So you're stuck. You're not in a position where you can kill us. And he realized how smart they were. He dressed them in fine clothing. He put gold around their neck. Africa. Okay, and finally, after now realizing how smart the Zikne HaNegev went, so now he's consulting with them. And he asked them the following question. I want to go to Africa. So Amar lahen, so they say to him, Lo matzis azalt, de paske hari choshech. You can't go to Africa. There are And I'm going to just say it like it sounds from the Gemara, even though it's going to sound a little bit strange. There's going to be mountains of darkness getting into in order to get to Africa, and you're going to get lost. So Amar Lahem Lo Sanya, sorry, Lo Sanya De Lo Azina. So he says, "Look, I have to go." And again, by the way, one of the give and takes over here between them and Alexander is again that idea that Alexander needs more and more and more, and they're trying to tell him like enough already, right? Ezu Hashiro Samech Bechalko, Ezu Ezu Chachama Roas Anolad. In other words, you can't just simply want and want and want. There's got to be a limit. So he says, "Look, I'm going to go. So either you're going to advise me, or you don't advise me. Either way, I got to go." Amatu Achi Mishalina Lechu Elamai Avid. So what should I do? Amrulei Aisi Chamer Lubai Deparshi Behavra Vaisi Kibora Damasne Vekater Bahagisa. Here's what I want you to do: take chamorim, take donkeys that are from Libya. Okay. Take a spool of flax. Tie the spool, one end of the spool, to this side of the mountain. So then when you go, you're going to hold on to the spool. Now, what's going to happen is that you're going to get to a land that's made up strictly of women. And then you're going to want to make war against them. So So he was talking to them. This is what I'm going to encounter. So Amrulei, so they said to him, Ikatilan Yomru Nishe Katal. Ikatilalach Yomru Maka de Kalu Nashe. So they said to him, that's a lose-lose proposition. You go to the women of the, you know, I'm going to say the Amazon, obviously not, but in other words, you're going to go to this African country inhabited strictly by women. Either you're going to be a woman killer, or you're going to be killed by women. Either way, either your reputation, or you're going to be embarrassed. Amar lahan, Aisulin Nahami. So he says to them, "Go bring me bread." Aisulin Nahami de Dahava, Apatur de Dahava. So they bought gold bread. Amar lo miachli inshin Nahami de Dahava. So he says, "But who eats gold bread?" So Amar lei, they said to him, "Ela ina hamabayis." But what do you mean? If you're asking us for bread,
don't you have your own bread?
And what are you doing asking us for bread? Obviously, you want something a little bit different. And that is the end of his conversation with them. And he writes on the entrance of Mechuzah, Anna Alexandros Mukta Maisi Shacha Ada Asis Lamedinas Africa Denasha Yalifta Eitza Min Nasha Kishakel the Asa Yasiv Ahu Mayana. So he gets to the country of Africa and he takes advice from the women. Kishakel the Asa Yasiv Ahu Mayana. Now he passes a wellspring while going through Africa. Ki achal nahama hava biyade guldane damilcha. Now, while he was eating the bread, he had in his hand some sort of salt. Bahade damachaverle nafal buhu recha. And apparently gave off some sort of smell. Amrish maimina hayena migan Eden. Now, the well, he concluded, must have come from Gan Eden. Okay. Asta ikade amri shaka mehano maya, so tara ba'ape. Now, according to one version, he then took the water, he splashed it on his face. Ikade amri idlukula adamata lepiska de Gan Eden. Now, some say that because he realized that this well was coming from Gan Eden, he followed the well up all the way to where he got up to the entrance of Gan Eden. Ramakala piskuli bava. So he said, "I want the entrance of Gan Eden." And again, by the way, look, we're so deep into the Agarata right now. But you understand the general theme? In other words, it wasn't enough that he conquered this world. He wanted to go into Gan Eden and he wanted to continue to Gan Eden, meaning for him there were simply no limits whatsoever. Amr le Zehashar Hashem, and so he said, no, you can't come in, Zehashar Hashem. Amr le Honana Nami Malka, so he says, I'm also a king. Ana Mikshev Chashina, Havlu Midi, give me something. Yavu le Gulgalas Echadam. So they gave him a skull. Okay. I said, Takle Lakule Dahacha, the Kaspite Bedeade, Law of Mitakle. And they brought out gold and silver, but it couldn't weigh it. Amalun La Rabbanan, my high. So he went to the Chachamim and he asked, what is going on? So the Chachamim said, Gugalaza de Aina de Bisra Vidama, the Lo Kasava. The skull is the eye and the flesh and the blood that doesn't satiate. Amalu Mimaidahu Shakli Kalili Afra Vikasya. So they took a little bit of dirt and they covered it. La Alta Tikling. And then what happens immediately is that it weighed. It was the same weight as all the gold and all the silver was the same as the eye. Tichsiv Sha'ova Avdon Lo Sis Ba'ena. The Pasuk in Mishlei says you will never be satiated. Tanda Be'aliyahu Ganu L'malam in Arakia. We end off the parak with a little bit more of a Gadita. Tanda Be'aliyahu Gehenim is above the heavens. V'yesho Mim La'achore Hari Choshech. Anyone who learns at night, is Shechina will be opposite him. Shenemar, Kumi Roni Balayla Larosh Ashmaros Shivchei Kamayim Libek Nochach Mnei Hashem Amar Valazer Ben Azayit Tamini Chachamim Mar Mishalom Balam Shenemar V'chol Benech Mnei Hashem V'ram Shalom Banech. And then, of course, the parak ends off with words regarding learning of Torah, the significance. The Gemara ends off clearly, the parak ends off clearly with the importance of learning Torah at night.
Correct.
It's the end of many. Okay, we'll stop over here. For increases, which is the mitzvahs that have. I have it. What about Talmud? It didn't end. It didn't end with it.
There are four messages that end up with that.
Yeah. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. We'll start the fifth parak of Nazir of Nazir of Tamid. Sixth parak, seventh parak.
Actually,
that
ends the Gemara.
Right. That's true. Sure. What's left now is just Mishnayos. Okay. All right. Continue Refuah Shleima for Fazak Avram Ben Yakir Avigail.
For you.
I'll be okay.
Ben
Yamin Zev Ben Shaul Rivka. Rabbi Chanan Ben Kashem Arot Sekash Baruch Hu Zav Zof Yich Acher Ben Tar Mitzvah Shemama Anay Chavetz Amantzik Oyagdot Yadir. Amen.